We're going to look this morning at Mark chapter number 14, and we'll read a passage of scripture there to begin and just read it all together, get the understanding of it, and then we'll come back and talk about it together. Mark chapter 14. Why don't you stand together with me, please, for the reading of God's word. Mark chapter 14, and we'll read beginning in verse 32. Mark chapter 14 and verse number 32. The Bible says, "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy." Heavy in his heart, in other words. "And he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed, that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch with me, or watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, and spake the same words. When he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him." They didn't know how to answer. Verse 41, "And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, and let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for this precious book that I hold in my hands. And Father, thank you for how this book teaches us of your love for us. This book is a sure foundation. It's a solid, it's a bedrock, Lord, for my life. I thank you for my faith that is sure and strong because of you. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, that has been so good to me. Your mercy that has followed me all through my life. Lord, I'm undeserving. I'm a sinner, and I'm so thankful for your grace, your goodness, and your mercy. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me the privilege to serve you. I pray thou this morning, Lord, that you would work in our hearts. Father, we ask you to speak to us. May your spirit speak to our spirit this morning and convict us and challenge us. I pray you'd help us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want us to look at this passage of Scripture here a little bit more closely. We'll go back a little bit to verse 32. And I want you just to have understanding of the circumstances and where they were and who it was and what was happening. First, we see where they were back in Mark 14 and verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane at this time. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And his 12 disciples, or actually Judas wasn't there at the time. Judas was the one who was soon going to betray him that night. But Jesus was gathered there in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. And Christ already knew that night what was coming. He knew what was going to happen. And he knew that he was going to be betrayed that night. In verse 41, Jesus had said, "The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." Even before he saw Judas, even before he heard the soldiers coming, he knew that that was the night when he was going to be betrayed and that his going to Calvary was about to take place in just a short time. We see the emotions that Christ was feeling. Verse 33 and 34, "And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death." Boy, he was sorrowful. His heart was heavy, as he was God, but he was also in the flesh of man. His emotions he was feeling were that of great sorrow. What did Christ do is what I especially want you to notice. What did Christ do? Verse 35, he fell to his knees. He fell to his knees. Verse 35, "And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed. He went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed. What did Christ do? He fell to his knees. He fell to his knees. What was Christ's desire? We see that there as well. He went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Jesus Christ, in these last moments of knowing he was about to be betrayed and knowing that as the Son of God, that he would go to the cross and he would die. But in the flesh of man, he was 100% God, yet dwelling in the flesh of man at this time, knowing what he would suffer, knowing what he would endure. We see that he prayed, oh, may this somehow pass from me. But notice his submission to the Father's will. Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. He submitted to the Heavenly Father's will. He kneeled and submitted to the will of the Heavenly Father. May I say this morning that we also need to learn to kneel in submission. We need to learn to kneel and submit to the will of our loving Heavenly Father in our lives also. I want to preach to you this morning on this topic, kneeling in submission. Kneeling in submission. And I want to give you four things this morning that we're going to study of ways that I believe that God wants us to kneel in submission to Him. Number one, submit to God's will in your trials. Submit to God's will in your trials. We see Jesus doing that. And we'll talk about that a bit more. There are some stories in the Gospels, in the four Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament. There are some stories that are retold in another one of the Gospels. And sometimes God used each of these writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, to maybe give a little bit more details about something that happened at a particular event or a particular story, something that happened. I want you to look back with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And I want us to see another brief description of this same story of Jesus and his disciples when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. On that particular night, Jesus was about to be betrayed by Judas. He would be taken as a prisoner to the high priest's house. And the next morning, Jesus was brought before the Sanhedrin, or the religious council, and eventually taken before Pilate. He would be wrongfully accused, found faultless. Remember, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. He found nothing wrong with him. No reason to condemn him. No reason to put him in prison. No reason to put him to death. But he was still rejected by the people, and he was led away to be crucified on Calvary. Jesus Christ said that the hour was come. He knew that the time was come that he would soon go to the cross of Calvary to suffer and die to pay for the sins of mankind. Christ knew what must come. Christ knew what must happen for him to accomplish his purpose in coming to earth. He was born in Bethlehem already knowing that one day he would die on the cross on Mount Calvary on that little hillside outside Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ kneeled to the will of the Heavenly Father. He submitted to the will of the Father. Luke 22, and let's read verse 39. Luke 22, verse 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. Kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. As Jesus Christ was there praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, that would have been on the Mount of Olives in that region, he kneeled in prayer and cried out to the Heavenly Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. Jesus submitted to the will of his Heavenly Father. Christ was fully God, 100% God when he walked upon the earth. But in his humanity, knowing how much he would suffer, knowing that the Father would turn his back on him in heaven, when the Father would see his Son with all the sins of the world placed upon him, he would die on the cross for the sins of the world. He knew that his Father would have to turn his head away from him. And remember the words of Christ on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Because the Father turned away, not even being able to bear looking at His Son upon the cross. Listen, Jesus knew what suffering it would be, knew what suffering would be both for Him, but also for the Father. And He was simply saying this, Father, if there be some other way to save mankind from their sins, then please don't let me suffer like this. Please remove this trial from my life. But Christ did not stop there. He also prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus Christ submitted to the will of the Heavenly Father. Don't ever think that, you know, it was some group of people that forced Jesus Christ to die on the cross. It was some group of people that, you know, they forced Him to be crucified, or some soldiers that took Him. It was the Romans, or it was the Jews. No, it was Jesus' love that took Him to the cross. Because Jesus loved us, and He willingly gave His life there to die on the cross for us. It was their love for us that kept Christ to the cross, took Him to the cross. 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. Galatians 2:20 says that Christ loved me and gave Himself for me. John 10 says, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down to my side. Lay it down to myself. Don't ever think, well, Christ wasn't willing. You know, just a mean Father, Heavenly Father, forced Him to go to the cross. No, He willingly laid down His life. He gave His life for us. He gave His life for the sheep. He gave His life for us so that we could be the children of God. He submitted to the will of the Father. There may be times in your life when you want to cry out to God and say, Lord, please remove this trial from my life. You may go through something in your life where you endure a trial, you endure a time of suffering, and you may want to say, Father, please take this trouble far away from me. Father, please take this trial away from me, out of my life. But will you learn to pray like Jesus, who said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. When you submit to God's will, listen, you will know His strength in your trials. If you will be willing to kneel in submission to God's will in the trials in your life, you'll know His strength. You'll know that there's a strength that God can give you during that trial. Luke 22, I want you to see something there. Luke 22, again, verse 42. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. The Heavenly Father was not totally abandoning His Son, Jesus Christ. He was not leaving Him alone. He still loved Him, and He was still going to comfort Him and strengthen Him. But this was a trial that the Father knew that Christ must endure. It was a trial that the Father knew that Christ was going to have to go through. And even in it, in His humanity, God sent to Him, the Father sent to Him, some angels to strengthen Him and to help Him. Christ had to go to the cross of Calvary and suffer a horrible death so that we could be saved from the penalty of our sins. When you face the trials, the difficulties in your life, learn to kneel in prayer. And I think we can even see from the example of Jesus, it's okay to pray and ask God to maybe remove the trial from your life. It's okay to ask God, would you please remove the trial? Would you remove the trouble? Would you remove the burdens out of my life? But realize that there may be some divine purpose that God is seeking to accomplish in your life. And remember to pray, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Boy, we're going to have to learn to kneel in submission in our trials. Where we may want to pray and say, God, would you just take the trial from me? I'm sick of this. I don't like this burden. I don't like this problem. I don't like suffering. Nobody does. Jesus didn't. He did not really like it. But He prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We're going to have to kneel in submission in the trials in our life. God's Holy Spirit can comfort you in your trials. God can send angels to strengthen you in your trial. When you submit to God's will in your trials, you'll know and experience the strength and help that only the Lord can give you. When you choose to submit to God's will in your trials, God may also choose to exalt you. And as Christ kneeled, humbling Himself to the Father's will, submitting Himself to the Father's will, submitting Himself to endure the cross,
And he humbly prayed, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." You know what happened? The Father exalted him, didn't he? Oh, he may have been going through a low point right there where he had to suffer this trial. He had to go through this great suffering time. But the Father had plans to exalt him. Oh, he wouldn't stay there, and he wouldn't even stay in a buried tomb. No, he'd rise from the grave. And he'd be exalted and sit on the right hand of the Father in heaven. Listen, the Father did have plans to exalt him and to lift him up. Turn with me to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. The night after Jesus Christ was betrayed, when he was brought before the council, they asked him, "Tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus answered them, "Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." You know, Christ realized too that, yes, I may be having to kneel in submission right now. I may have to kneel in submission to go through a time of great suffering. I may have to kneel in submission to bear this cross and to go to the cross and so on. But I know that there's a time where the Father will exalt me. Christ first had to endure the trial. He had to submit to the Father's will and go to the cross, but he was going to be exalted. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 9. "Let this mind be in you," which was also in Christ Jesus. You know what? God wants us to have that same mind. That same mind, that same attitude. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." Listen, the Father had plans to exalt him. But first, Christ had to kneel in submission, be obedient to the will of the Father. He had to go through that trial, go through that suffering. 1 Peter 5, 6 says to us, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." When you choose to submit to God's will in your trials, God may also choose to exalt you. We must learn to kneel in submission to our Heavenly Father. I say this, number one this morning, we must submit to God's will in our trials. Kneel in submission. Kneel in submission. Submit to God's will in the trials in your life. Submit to God's will when God may lead you through some suffering, may lead you through a trial, may lead you through a difficulty. Hey, it's okay, I think, to pray like Jesus. "Father, if you would, please remove the trial. Please remove the burden. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Not as I will, but thine be done." Kneel in submission to God's will in our trials. In our trials. Number two, we must submit to suffering in the will of God. I want you to turn back with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We must submit to suffering in the will of God. Submit to suffering in the will of God. Matthew 26. And I want you to read verse 39. Matthew 26 and verse 39. We need to submit to God's will in the trials in our life. We must submit to suffering, that sometimes suffering will be in the will of God. Matthew 26 and verse 39 says, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Verse 42, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. If this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." Again, we read of Jesus' submission to the will of God. He knew that he was going to have to drink a bitter cup of suffering. "If this cup won't go away unless I drink it, and if this cup won't be removed unless I'm willing to drink that bitter cup of suffering, suffering there and enduring the cross, then Lord, I'm willing. Father, I'm willing." Christ knew that suffering was a part of the will of the Father. You know what? We may suffer a little reproach sometimes for being a Christian. Nothing like what Jesus Christ suffered. But you know what? You may suffer a little reproach. You may suffer some persecution. There may be some times when maybe someone just does not like you just because you're a Christian. There may be times when someone mistreats you just because you're a Christian. And they don't like Christ, and so they don't like Christians. That can happen. And it does happen sometimes. But remember something. Christ was willing to suffer so that you and I could be saved from hell. We must be willing to suffer sometimes in the will of God. Turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12. Towards the end of your New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. We must be willing to submit. Submit to trials. Sometimes God may bring trials in our life. We must be willing to submit to suffering sometimes in the will of God. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12 says this, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Verse 19. "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Oh, listen, there may sometimes be a little persecution. There may be times where someone mistreats you or something is done unjustly or unfairly towards you. Or people just are unkind to you. Or someone seems to reject you. Listen, it's not you they're rejecting. They're rejecting Jesus Christ. They may speak evil of you. They may mistreat you. Why? They do it because they're trying to persecute Christ. And sometimes we may suffer as a Christian. We may face persecution just for being a Christian. And listen, the more it gets closer to the Lord's return, the more and more it's actually going to happen. We must be willing to submit to suffering in the will of God. Philippians 1:29 says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." He says, this is given to you, that not just to believe in him, but you may have to suffer for him as well. Suffer for his sake. If you must bear a little reproach or persecution for being a Christian, if someone makes fun of you for believing in Christ, if someone makes fun of you for carrying a Bible to school or taking a Bible to work, if someone makes fun of you for bowing your head to pray before you eat your lunch, if someone rebukes you when you try to witness or tell them about Christ and they slam the door, they don't want to listen to you. Listen, be willing to submit to suffering for Christ's sake. Be willing to submit to suffering, remembering how much he suffered for you. When you submit to suffering in God's will, you'll know his grace and you'll know his power. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Hope you got an active fingers and an active Bible this morning. If you can, and I'll read them to you as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 7 to 10. We must submit to trials in our life. And when we submit to trials, that sometimes it'll be in God's divine purpose in our life. We can know his strength. God will strengthen us. He won't leave us alone. We must submit to suffering in the will of God. But understand this, sometimes through that you'll know his grace and you'll know his power. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10 says this, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice or three times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." God says his grace will be sufficient for us. That's his promise. Paul testified that it was God's power that made him strong when he was weak.
When he had to suffer some persecution just for the name of Christ, when Paul endured some suffering or some trials or some persecutions because he was following Christ, God, he said, I've known God's grace and I've known God's power in my life like I never would have known it otherwise. You can know God's grace and know God's power if you'll submit to suffering in the will of God. I said this morning we must learn to kneel in submission. Kneel in submission. We must submit to God's will in our trials. When you submit to God's will in your trials, you'll know and experience the strength and help that the Lord can give you. Number two, we must submit to suffering in the will of God. When you submit to suffering in God's will, you'll know His grace and His power in your life. And number three, we must submit to carrying our own cross. I want you to learn with me, look with me back to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We must submit to carrying our own cross. We must submit to carrying our own cross. Matthew 16 and verse 24, 25 says this. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Jesus said that if we're going to be his disciple, then we must be willing to take up our own cross and follow him. I don't know what that cross will be that you must carry. It may be different things for different people. The cross that you must bear, a cross that you may have to carry in your life may be different than what somebody sitting next to you, a cross that they may end up carrying in their life. But everyone who wants to be a good disciple of Christ must be willing to deny themselves, be willing to deny their own self, deny their own will, and submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and take up our cross and follow Him. Verse 25 said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. If we want to save our life, we're actually going to lose our own life. We must lose our own will and give up our own life and give up our own ambitions and desires to follow Jesus Christ. Also, if you're not saved, you'll only have eternal life by humbly kneeling in your heart and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It goes on in verse 26 and says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Your soul is precious and valuable. So he says, you can gain the whole world and yet still lose your own soul. You can gain everything this world has to offer and still be lost and unsaved. Jesus was saying, how much good does it do a man if he has everything the world has to offer, but he's lost and unsaved and on his way to hell for all eternity? If you don't know 100% for sure that you've been born again, that you're saved and on your way to heaven, then we have to give up our own way and give up our own human attempts to save ourselves and trust Jesus Christ alone as our Savior. It doesn't matter how good of a person you are. It doesn't matter how smart or educated you are. It doesn't matter how wealthy you are, how religious you are. It doesn't matter how much Bible you know. It only matters is, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? Have you been forgiven of your sins? Have you been born again? Can you tell me when, where, how you got saved? If you're not sure of the answers to those questions, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, boy, you must get that settled. Why not let somebody take the Bible and say, I want you to show me how I can know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I don't want to have so much in this world, but then possibly lose my own soul.
When you submit to carrying your cross, you'll discover, you'll find, you'll know true life. You'll know true life. In verse 25, Jesus said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Listen, the only way for you to know true life is to kneel in submission. To say, I'll give up my life. I'll give up my own will. I'll give up my own things. And I'll be willing to bear that cross and carry that cross. I want your will, Lord. When we do that, we can know true life. We must submit to God's will in our trials.
When you submit to God's will in your trials, you'll know and experience the strength and help the Lord can give you. We must submit to suffering in the will of God. When you submit to suffering in God's will, you'll know His grace and you'll know His power. Understand that sometimes there may be suffering, there may be persecution for Christ's sake. But you'll know His grace and you'll know His power in your life. Number three, we must submit to carrying our own cross. When you submit to carrying that cross, you'll discover, you'll find, you'll know true life. And lastly, this morning, very quickly, I say this. We must submit to God's plan for our life. I want you to turn with me to one passage of Scripture here, Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3. Boy, it's been warm in here this morning. I'm going to open up all the doors tonight and make it nice and cold in here to help you. Just kidding. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 7 and 8. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, refuse, that I may win Christ. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is what the Apostle Paul said about his own life. The Apostle Paul said, I surrendered my own life. I surrendered my things. Those things that would have been gained to me, those things that would have been good for me. No, I gave up all those things. I counted all those things but lost. Why? So that I could serve Christ. So that I could please Christ. So that I could do the will of Christ in my life. When you submit to God's plans, though, you'll know His reward. You'll know His reward. And that Paul could testify to that. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Look with me at one other verse quickly, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter number 12. We must submit to God's plans for our life. I plead with you, submit to God's plan, submit to God's will, submit to God's way for your life. When you submit to God's plans, you'll know His reward. Listen for a second. Do you have your future all planned out? Do you have your future all planned out? You think, boy, I've got this life ahead of me. I know I'm going to live this long. I expect I'm going to live this life. And this is what I'm going to do. And this is what I want to do. And this is what my career is going to be. And this is my future. This is my life. This is what I want. Well, that's wonderful. Can I ask you something? Have you ever thought about what God might want? Have you ever thought about what God might want? What about God's plans? Do God's plans even matter to you? Does God's plans even matter? Would you even think about them? Would you even consider, what if God has a different way for me? What you might want to do might not be a bad thing, but what if God wants even something, a better thing for you? What about God's way? Do you want your own will for your life? Or do you want God's best for your life? Think about it. Are you just determined, this is my will for my life? Or would you even consider kneeling and submitting, God, what's your way for my life? God, I want your best for my life. Can I encourage you to submit your life to God? Submit your plans to God today and say, God, these are my plans. And God, if this is what you would let me do or want me to do, wonderful, God. But what do you want me to do? God, I want you to show me clearly. I want you to give me direction. I want you to help me to know what is your way and your will and what you want. Submit your plans to God today. Surrender your will and submit to God's will. Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you understand Romans, he teaches all about how God has saved us. It teaches us the doctrines of salvation and God's grace. And then when we come to the end of the book, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Again, therefore, because of all that God has done for us, because of all His grace and wondrous salvation, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Be willing to give your life a sacrifice to God. Be willing to give it to Him. Wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Would you like the perfect will of God to be done in your life? Or are you just determined, no, I want my will. I want my way, God, my way. What about God's way? What about God's way? Are you making big choices? Are you making important decisions that will affect your future? Or will you let God help you in that? Will you let God help you in those choices and help you in those decisions that you're making? We must submit to God's plan for life. Listen, God's not going to, He doesn't want to ruin your life. No, He has a perfect will of God for you that is wonderful. And you may want to do something good, and God may want something even better for you. Be willing to submit to God's will for your life. We must learn to kneel in submission. We must submit to God's will in our trials. And when we submit to God's will in our trials, you'll know and experience the strength and help that the Lord can give you. We must submit to suffering in the will of God. And when we do that, we can know His grace and know His power. We must submit to carrying our own cross. And when we do so, listen, you'll know true life. You'll discover true life. You'll find true life. And lastly, we must submit to God's plan for our life. When you submit to God's plan and God's way and God's will, you'll know His reward. There is a reward for doing the perfect will of God. There is a reward for doing His will and doing the things that He would want you to do. Will you yield your will? Will you kneel in submission to Him? To Him. Let's pray together.